Welcome to Freedom of Mind.
Working.
It's working. I don't know if they heard me, but it's working. I guess we're talking about a little bit of like updated sports. An update in just a little bit of update on pop culture, I guess.
I would say a little bit more on conspiracy theories. Like, we was just into supposedly Pac is in Cuba. How do you feel about that?
Listen, man, Pac ain't no damn Cuba, man. Pac is... I think they cremated him. So, you know, I don't know. Pac is probably... People usually spread the cremate all over the ocean, you know. So maybe he's somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean or Pacific Ocean. I don't know. That's where the hell Pac is at. So, you know, all these conspiracies. Come on, man. Yeah, like I said, I used to think that he was alive a little while ago. I used to think he was alive. And then my cousin, who's a real big fan of his, she was like, that man is dead. Cut it out. And then I was like, that brought me back to earth. Like,
what about Biggie?
Yeah, it's possible. Biggie dead in the motherfucker. Biggie dead as hell. You know, so rest in heaven, but he's dead as hell.
Shout out to Biggs, man. It was all a dream. Hey, man, speaking of New York, man, big ups to New York hip hop, man. You know the drill scene that's been going on. Shout out to Rowdy Rebel, man. Solid cat, man, that just got out and, you know, I'm not mistaken, I think he got a 5-year term. Shout out to the, you know, the young, prosperous black brother that, you know, did his time and, you know, solid integrity, real cool cat, you know, really fuck with his music. When him and Bobby came out, that scene that they had, you know, the dancing in the videos, having their own moves and just having that wild style, like, it shows you the East Coast gritty, you know, scene, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to Rowdy. And then, you know, Bobby Shmurda was just released today, so, you know, shout out to him, man. Real solid cat as well, man. Keep holding your head high, man. Let's get this young brother to 100 million, you know, followers, subscribers, even Rowdy, man. Let's get these two young black brothers, man, to the next level, man. They solid brothers, man, that stood around at the time, man, but definitely had a real, real tool with this culture that we have in hip hop, and I think they had that right tool. You know what I'm trying to say? So, I definitely, you know, I'm excited to hear more music, man. I'm definitely here, excited, man. 6 years ago, man, I want to say I was in high school, man, when we had that, you know, for that light time, New York, you know, gravitated to a light. You know what I'm saying? When that hot joint came out, you know, cats that was out here was like, you know, requoting and reciting lines from that song, you know, like Mitch caught a body from a week ago, like all that type shit. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, it was just it was just a wave that was so such a major impact. And then, you know, during this, we got to see, you know, these cats, you know, going through incarceration and just, you can really make a movie, you know what I'm saying? And just that being in a part of rap culture. I mean, I grew up with Get Rich or Die Trying. I grew up with Pop. I grew up with certain cats that, you know, been through the penitentiary or, you know, really change this rap game that we know. So just to see a mark like that is like seeing or being through history, you know. So hey, shout out to the two brothers that have finally been free, man, and New York, keep doing your thing, East Coast.
Okay, so those are some of the things we're gonna touch on with the main part of the segment, you know, with the main segment. We're gonna talk about a little bit of that Tiger Woods situation going on. We're gonna talk about a little bit of, again, like you said, you know, Bobby Smurda, you know, getting released out of jail and or prison, and touch on some other little things that's been going on of late. And y'all stay tuned, all right?
Yeah, yeah, it's Freedom of Mind, and like I said, man, stay tuned. We got a lot more for the show. I wanted to say thank you for all the new listeners that are tuning in right now. Thank you for everybody that has been supporting. We always are trying to rebrand. We always are trying to regroup. We always are trying to think about new things we can do, or trying to think of new ways to improve just for the listeners of this show. So we definitely like the comments. We definitely, shit, even if we're doing bad, we definitely like that to be pointed out, because what we want to bring to the listeners is definitely something that's of you know, perfection. You know, we're freeing our time. We're freeing just the vibe of intellect when we free our minds and we can really speak on what we feel inside, you know. Hit them socials if you got something you can speak on, you know. What's this episode like? We've been doing this for 2 years now. Anyways, man, tune in for a good show. We got a lot of things coming. You already know, it's your man L. Why don't you tell the listeners who you are, man?
It's your boy, Ray Will. Ray Will. Come on now. Y'all got to know this. For the new listeners. For the new listeners. Ray Will. L. Y'all hold on, all right? We're going to be right back. What's good with it? Speak your mind over here. This is your boy, Ray Will. Wanted to talk about paying homage back to the motherland. And that may seem far-fetched to some people, but I'm not mad at Stevie Wonder for wanting to go and move to Ghana. He says that, he says to Oprah, that he don't want his kids to ever want to feel like being accepted in this country, you know, and that is a damn shame. And then people wonder and speculate, like, why in the hell would he want to do that? He's rich. People respect him here. You know, why would he want to go back to, you know, Ghana? And me, I'm like, shit, why not? You know? I remember Akon made a comment. He said that, you know, because he encourages, you know, blacks to move back to the motherland. And he said that you would feel human. You would feel like you're human again when you're out here. And I thought that was very interesting when he said that. And I think that's the same thoughts that Stevie is probably thinking as well. It's another thing too. I remember, you know, with this person that I knew, and she was an older white lady, very nice lady. But, you know, me, anybody's around me, I love talking about music, particularly black music. And we got to talking about music. And then Stevie Wonder was playing on the speakers or whatever, where we were at, you know. And she was like, I was like, what you think about Stevie Wonder? She was like, oh, I don't like Stevie Wonder. And I was a little surprised. But, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinions. That's fine and dandy. But I'm like, wow. Out of all, I can see if you didn't like, you know, like these idiots nowadays, you know, like Lil Wayne or somebody, you know. So, but Stevie Wonder, wow. You know, that's crazy, you know. And I'm sorry, let me backtrack a little bit. I didn't mean to call Lil Wayne an idiot. I'm sorry. Lil Wayne is a very clever, smart individual, man. You know, he knows how to sell records, man. You know, let me not put my personal opinion in too much about Lil Wayne. So, Lil Wayne, you're my brother, man. You're my brother, but you're not my brother, right? You're my brother, but not my brother. We all on the same team, right? So, anyhow, I was just a little shocked, and I was just a little baffled by it. I was like, wow, you know, like, and I asked her, like, why? You know, what? Why, you know, just curious, out of curiosity. She could not give me, like, a real explanation. She was just like, I just don't like him. I don't like him. So I got to speculating, you know, to myself. I was like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, Stevie Wonder's music was, like, hella pro-black. It was, like, super soulful. I mean, you can't get no more soulful than his, you know. And then when I hear people play old school music, like, let's say I hear, like, Hispanics or maybe a white person, you know, Hispanics, especially in the West Coast, they love, like, old school music. They love oldies and, you know, they, you know, lowrider music, you know what I'm saying, all, you know, all the different soulful songs and funk and all that. They love that stuff. But I don't really hear them playing Stevie Wonder. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I don't really, you know, not to say that they don't like Stevie Wonder, they don't know about Stevie Wonder. I don't hear it, you know. And as a DJ, you know, I probably wouldn't be playing on Stevie Wonder if it's like a non-black crowd. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like they just can't really relate to it. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be like a black crowd. You feel what I'm saying? And you know, that's just my opinion, you know, but I felt that way. But see, I felt that way before she said all that stuff. Like I said, I began to speculate. And I'm like, it kind of does make sense. You know what I'm saying? That cause maybe she just can't relate to him. Because I was breaking it down to her. I was like, well, you know, this guy is talented. I mean, he could play all these instruments and, you know, like, you know, I mean, obviously the fact that he's blind and he can do all of this stuff, man, it's just, it's amazing. I mean, you know, he writes his own music. He produces his own stuff. You know, he's produced music for others. And, you know, like, this guy is amazing. And she was just like, right? So I was like, wow. You know, I was shocked by that. But, you know, how does that relate to my point? Like, you know, maybe he's always been this pro-black guy. He's always felt this way. Obviously, he felt it way. He can't see it. He feels it. And, you know, no pun into it. I love Stevie, man. Obviously, I love Stevie Wonder. But, you know, and I'm saying it's ironic that he is blind and he can see the bullshit that we go through in this country. And he's blind. And you got other cats that can see, you know, and they don't see it, you know. So, you know, Stevie Wonder wants to be felt like a human, apparently, and he wanted his kids to be felt like human beings and, you know, should not try to feel like they have to validate themselves as a human being. So I don't blame him, man. And if I could, I would move to the motherland. At least I need to check it out first, you know what I'm saying? So I need to check it out to see what's going on. And obviously, you know what I'm saying, a lot of my roots go back to Nigeria. You know, I looked it up. Obviously, I want to get more specific, you know, going to like African ancestry and really tracing, you know, the tribes that I descend from and all this. So I definitely need to check it out. And, you know, I would encourage and recommend everyone to trace their roots, even white people, Hispanics, Asians, you know, everybody get in touch with your roots and pay homage, man. But that's all I got for Speak Your Mind. And I encourage everyone to speak their minds.
start the show, L.
Yeah. Wait a minute. No, I need a rewind on that one. What's up, everybody? You already know who this is. So this segment is called Speak Your Mind, and the only thing I have to mind today is a word called restraint. Give me one moment while I look this word up. Restraint, a measure or condition that keeps someone or something under control or within limits. Really listen to that out there. A measure or condition that keeps someone or something under control or within limits. I practiced restraint today. I was a person that could keep my decisions from making the wrong ones, right? So I understood the decisions that I'll be making, which in turn can affect my future. So you could say I put something under control, put within limits, because I knew that would fuck me over later on. I like that feeling. I say when you practice restraint, you practice the power. Not just the power over yourself, but the power over others. Because you're using your mind to really think, right? To think about your next movement. You're practicing that self-control, that restraint, to not make a motive or not make a decision that will affect in the long term. I think we all as adults, we all as young adults, even teens or adolescents, man, I think we all have to practice that certain type of restraint. You know, I think better decisions make a better life, in my personal opinion. And when you practice restraint and you don't let the small things get to you, I think that's the big important thing, right? I think that's something we need to underline. And I think around this time, I'm not speaking my mind, but around this time, I'm telling everybody that all will be fine. So practice restraint. With restraint, it holds intelligence. If you let the mind control you, you let somebody else's false words control you, or you let somebody else's false actions control you, you let your own actions control you, what type of intelligence do you have? I mean, what the fuck we're talking about here? It's the little things. Little things have a long term and a big effect later on. Let's not sweat the little things, and let's make bigger things that will in long term be a positive. Restraint. There's a better outlook at the end. So when I say when in time, you can control your mind. In all things, I said all things will be fine. This is L's speaking mind.
All right, we got L over here speaking knowledge about restraint. That's what's up, bro. Hey, so let's touch on some of the things that we brought up earlier in the intro. So we got Bobby Smarter out, right? And okay, he had that one hit, right? He had that one big, like, big monster hit, right? And then all of a sudden he went to jail. Why did he go to jail again?
He had a couple hits. I think when he dropped that album too, he had, I think, Bobby Bitch and a few. And he had a couple hits. He had Bobby Bitch or Bobby It's Time or something, because he dropped that album. Rowdy had Computers. He had a couple of joints on his end. And it's funny because both Hot Nigga and Computers, those songs were just trends of their own time, because Mad Cass was just making remixes. You know what I'm saying? Like, Computers, that were Rowdy, like, so many cats was making remixes. So you kind of know that they set that trend of that year. I think that year was, don't quote me on this, but 6 years they did the time. That was 6 years ago when they went in. So I can't speak too much on the case, but I don't know too much on the case. When you really listen to the lyrics of certain songs, you really see the whole, basically the GS9 crew that's in New York. The GS9 crew is, you know what type of, you know, festivities they get into. GS9 is the type of crew, as in LA, they would say Crip or Blood, you know what I'm saying? That type of rag shit, you know, gang shit. You could say GS9 was something like that, and you could say they're still active. You could say there was a few things on lyrics that he got within even more trouble for. A lot of these rappers that come from that type of struggle, that type of life, you know, they, you know, of course, it's part of the rap game. We definitely like to speak on things like that. But I want to say, fuck the past. Whatever happened in the past and whatever happened to these two young black kings, I want to say that integrity is another word of the day. It's something that you stand on. That solidarity is amazing. Like, you got these two young brothers that did time for each other and with each other, and it's like, you know, they stood on what they did. You know, that's what it barrels down to. They stood on what they did. They handled their shit like a man. They was like, look, we just take the time. But it's not to idolize. I want this young generation to know about the history. I mean, like I told you, I mean, I had Get Rich or Die Trying and The Massacre playing in my CD players and shit. Like, 50 was a big influence on me. But we can't idolize the violence, but at the same time, we can idolize how if you do some shit that's wrong, you have to do your time and commit the crime, you do your time, but that's honorable, right? When he got released, Quavo from the Migos brought the PJ out, the private jet out, came to pick him up, fucking big ass bash and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, but it's what this young kid did. I mean, you can look up on your phone the time that he went in. He was still young. I think he was, I want to say 19 or 20. Rowdy the same. I really liked his brother, Fetty Luciano. Shout out to Fetty. You know what I'm saying? He had, you know, he carried a torch, you know, for him and his family and stuff, you know. Shout out to Fetty. Shout out to New York, man. They just got that. I'm from Boston, so we're the West neighbors, you know what I'm saying? But we kind of got some of our stuff from New York, and, you know, we have our own thing, you know. But I mean, hey, shout out to New York, man. Hey, shout out to those two young black kings. I want to say again, man. That's it.
That's it. Now, that ain't it for you. You got more to say. So, no, I guess that's it, what you got to say about that situation. Okay, so, you know, hopefully he can make some more smash hits and then, you know, and keep it going, man. I'm looking forward to seeing what the young brother got, you know, what more that he got. He seems to be getting a lot of support from the hip-hop community, so that's really cool, man. And so I want to bring up something that I've been talking about in the past, so gotta bring this up again. But okay, let's see. Kid from Kid and Play said that he feels that rappers nowadays sound the same, and he said that the sounds that they make are very similar. And he also said that back in his day, his heyday, you know, with Kid, you know, with Play, you know, back in what, early 90s, late 80s or whatever, but he was like, they try not to sound the same. And that's the goal, right? Why would I want to sound like this cat and that cat? You know, that's lame. That's like biting, right? That's what they used to call it. So that's biting, man. You biting. You know, now granted, you know, you may borrow some things from some cats, or you study another cat. I mean, that's what you're going to naturally do, right? You got to learn how to do it. You got to learn how to, you know, be the best rapper you can be. And that's what you're going to do. But to try to sound like one another, okay, now that's a whole different ball game. So this is what we have here. And, you know, obviously I totally agree with Kid. And
speak on more, what you feel.
And
you're gonna hear a whole bunch of hate from the baby, all that shit.
Oh yeah. Well, the baby sounds a little different. You know, the baby has his own little sound. You know, he got his own little sound, and then I don't have a problem with auto-tune, but when every cat is using auto-tune the same way, it's like you guys sound like Siamese twins. So, you know, when I hear T-Pain with his auto-tune, you know it's T-Pain, right? Because it's the way that he uses it, right? And then he puts effort into it. You can hear his notes. You can hear his voice. So it's kind of like he's not using it to enhance his voice. He's not using it to make his voice sound better. He's using it to sound different. So it's more of like artistry that's in more of this. He understands the pitches and the variations of it and all that or whatever. Like you said, he studied it. You know, yeah, he can sing without auto-tune. You know what? T-Pain can spit. T-Pain got bars.
Let me say something to the youth real quick, okay? I've been doing music for a while now. You gotta kind of sing. Yes, boo-boo. Don't step into the booth. Listen, it's all about pitch correction. So get from the diaphragm and start spitting out some harmony, because that's how the auto-tune device works. It only works when you send out the right pitch. How the hell can it correct shit if you in there doing a whole bunch of other shit to the auto-tune and then you come out sounding like a gizzard? That's all I got to say.
Yeah, like I told L before, I was like, I hate when they all do the same, they sing the same notes. They even sing the same ad-libs. You know, that whole, I fucking hate that. Stop it. That's just like, I remember when Exhibit made a remark about some rappers who say, huh? He like, they got it from the Ying Yang Twins. So if you put two and two together, let's take Ying Yang Twins and let's take, huh? You sound like a fucking retard. Why would you want to sound like a retard? So it's like, stop that. You know, that, you know, like I told people too, that Dej Loaf started a style. She started a trend. Nobody wants to agree with that. I don't give a fuck. This is what I hear. You sound like Dej Loaf. You know what I'm saying? And she does this shit. She does that. She was doing that shit first. And then imagine hearing a grown ass man using that same shit all the time. Bro, you are ad-libbing. Ad-libbing is supposed to be improvisation. That means that you come up with something from your own mind, and it's like instincts. Like, okay, it's stuff that you come up with on your own. That's ad-libbing, right? Spur of the moment stuff, right? Impulsive stuff. Not, okay, let me sound like somebody else when I do my ad-libs. That is so lame. Okay, so, and then I actually singing. Okay, why would you want to sound like? When I was explaining that, a cat was like, "Oh," because what I said was, when I was explaining how I agreed with Kid, was like, you know, first of all, a lot of people use auto-tune, like I just told y'all, a lot of people use auto-tune. They didn't have auto-tune back then. You know, they didn't have auto-tune back then. They had the vocal box, but they didn't have auto-tune. It's a little bit different. Auto-tune didn't exist back then or whatever, because the guy who invented it didn't, who came up with the sonar stuff, didn't invent it yet. So it didn't exist. The vocal box or the talk box was out, and obviously Roger Troutman used it a lot. That's what he primarily used. And but cats wasn't using that a lot in hip hop, you know, like far as like the primary, they wasn't using it to rap over it, you know what I'm saying? They were singing over it. Some cats that was using it, like Teddy Riley, Quick, some other cats, and they'll put it in some of their music or whatever here and there, but it wasn't like they was rapping over it and they, you know, that's how they sound. No, they wasn't doing that, you know, that wasn't a primary style of rapping. You know what I'm saying? I think it's because they wanted to have their own sound. They wanted to have their own style. They didn't want to sound like that. Imagine if like every other rapper back then was using the vocal box. Like, why do you guys all sound alike? Like, stop it. That's what we have nowadays. You got these guys and they're using the auto-tune, and it's like they're using it the same exact way as the next man is using it. They're using the same improvisation ad libs as the next man. It's like, come on now, we need some variety up in here. So I totally agree with Kid on that, man. And you know, I'm sure he had his own explanations or whatever, but I'm just putting my twist into it because I've been saying this for a while now. Like, these cats sound alike, but you know, it ain't half their fault, right? You know, because they need more guidance, they need more mentorship. And they're like, what do we need that for? You know what I'm saying? We get paid already. We doing our thing, man. You know, especially the top guys. You know, but I'm like, well, right now, you're going to run out of ideas. What you going to do when motherfuckers get tired of that shit? Because right now, this style is trending. You know, that's one thing about a trend. Trends go old. They go away. So what the hell are you going to, how are you going to continue to make your money? People are going to get tired of that because it already sounds dumb. So people are going to get caught up with it. They're going to be like, you know what? I'm tired of this, you know, or they just going to go on to the next trend. You know what I'm saying? And then, no, you can't create trends. You followed a trend, remember? So you didn't create it. So, you know, you got to come up and do your own thing now. Yeah. And then you use an auto-tune. How are you going to perform? You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, we gotta do, man, these rappers, these young rappers, we gotta do a little bit better, man. And then I would say this too. I understand this. If you come off as yourself and come up with something that you came up with, and then you got social media, you know, every little thing you do, if you turn your head the wrong way, if you turn your head at a 30 degree angle instead of a 29 degree angle, I mean, it's gonna be all over the fucking place. It's like, my goodness, what the fuck can I do? What can I say without it being scrutinized? It's a gift and a curse. They didn't have that back then, back in the 90s or whatever. You know, they didn't have social media and all that or whatever. Hell, they didn't even have internet, you know what I'm saying, at some point. So I understand that if you come up with your own style and your own sound, you may get scrutinized, you know what I'm saying? But so fucking what? You're an artist. Fuck them. You feel what I'm saying? Anybody got anything bad to say about it or whatever, fuck them. If that's what you're afraid of or whatever, fuck that, man. You're an artist. You know what I'm saying? But look where Drake is at. Drake came up with his own style, sound. Stuff that people bite, And people, and these same people talked about him like a dog. Talking about he's soft and he's in his feelings and all this, whatever. Guess what? Your punk ass want to sound just like him. You feel what I'm saying? Because when I hear half these cats, they be sounding like Drake. Like I say, you gonna improvise or ad-lib, and then you're going to ad-lib sounding like somebody else. That's not ad-libbing. That's biting. So come up with your own shit. Quit being a little fucking scary butt and quit being lazy and do your thing, man. You can make more money. You can shine more. Trust me.
I remember the time Mr. Champagne Poppy came out, Mr. Drake. You know what I'm saying? I remember that time. That was like 08 is when I heard Comeback Season. And I was sitting there like, yo, who is dude? And then it went to So Far Gone when I heard Best You Ever Had, Best I Ever Had. I was sitting there like, yo, this is kind of nice though. And then the normal shit that we was listening to, you know what I'm saying? It was different. I was like, this kid's singing, but at the same time, he rapping. I'm sitting here like, yo, man, this dude wild. Then I heard he was spitting, though, when I heard Successful, when I heard with Trey Songz, you know, a young spitter that everybody in rap fear. Woo! A lot of y'all still sounded like last year. The game need changing. I'm the motherfucking cashier. Woo! Like, y'all need to understand, like, just being different is the most perfect ingredient ever. Like, I look back on the shit that I wrote and then I recite it out, you know, do my little, you know, rap rehearsals that I do. But I'm like, my lyrics are different than most. But then I sit there and like, I think, what the fuck is the problem with that? I'm thinking that it's awkward because I sound different, but the only awkward part is because I sound different. It's because this is not the normal shit. Like, that's why I think it's so cool. That's why I still continue to write and embrace it and still continue to be the same old, same old. I can tell my story and I never will modify it because it's my story. You dig what I'm saying? And I know longevity. I can sell to these kids that are in college that'll love music that's like a J. Cole to their ear or a Drake to their ear. You know what I'm saying? Rappers nowadays need to understand what originality is and what market is. So your originality, you can be a part of that gang life, but how are you going to sell to these college kids that are paying $300,000 for a concert and you get $60,000 to $70,000? But you have a problem with Little Shoot 'Em Up and you're clashing with his gang. Don't nobody want that shit at their event. But then they take that money and get a J. Cole, or they get a Drake, or they get a Kendrick, or they get a Big Sean. See what I'm saying? You see the difference? Y'all need to be yourselves out there, man. When I'm writing every day, when I'm learning different shit about the music, yeah, I'm learning the game, but I'm also knowing that originality never changed. You know what I'm saying? And as you just study and you grow, I think rappers need to really look in the mirror because they haven't found themselves. They haven't really found their true colors because their ear is so, it's so close to what the next person thinks is hot. It's so close to, I have to be this to fit in with this. But you need to really understand the market out there has an ear for difference. I don't want to eat the same plate every day. I'm a pescatarian. I eat nothing but veggies, spinach, fucking fish, seafood. I don't eat the variety of food. I don't eat pork. I haven't ate pork in a whole 2 years now. I haven't ate red meat in a whole 2 years now. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. So it's like that difference, that variety. I'm not going to sit here and eat shrimp fettuccine every night. Nah, I'm going to make myself some tuna. I'm going to make myself some salmon. I'm going to make myself just a vegetable melody after that. Variety, man.
Also with that tuna, you might want to add some more in that tuna, right? You might want to add some of the different seasoning.
Or
No mayonnaise, right? You know, you might want different condiments, whatever. You might want some mustard or something, you know what I'm saying? Or I'm just saying, yeah, hell, I put a little bit of mustard on my tuna. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know. A little bit of sandwich bread or something, you know, switch it up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? These cats right here, this is what they doing. They eating fried chicken. Just fried chicken. That's it. Then the next cat is eating fried chicken, and the next cat is eating fried. But then you got like Drake. Drake is eating baked chicken. You know what I'm saying? And he adding some salad with it, and he adding all these different things with his baked chicken. And at first, these cats is laughing at him like, man, this old square ass motherfucker eating baked chicken or whatever. What's wrong with this dude, man? And he got the nerves to have salad with it. What the hell? Right? But then they heard it. They and meanwhile, they sneaking his chicken. They eating off his chicken. They eating off his salad. So, you know, I'm just saying, y'all get a clear little view with my little analogy that I got here. It's like, come on, y'all, stop it. You know, like, you guys sound the same. Why? This is my question. Why would you want to sound like the other guy? Why? And then you got cats that are in denial. They're like, no, we sound different and all that. Are you serious? Are you serious? You did that little shit that Dave's Loaf does or did. How do you sound different? How? When this guy right here, like Kendrick Lamar, Elves boy, Kendrick Lamar, you're like, oh, he sound weird or he sound like an alien or whatever. But guess what? He's selling and he don't sound like your ass. And you got to listen to him. You listen to him more, you might enjoy him. You might value him because he be saying some shit, right? So he's not afraid of being himself. He's not afraid of putting out something that he came up with. He's not afraid of being an artist, maybe because he know what an artist is. Another thing that I love about Kendrick Lamar is he's a hell of a performer. And that is rare in hip hop nowadays. If you meet every old school rapper or rapper that came out before 2000 or around that time, they know how to perform. You got these cats nowadays, they do not know how to perform. It is just cringeworthy. DMX come to bring it, bro. Hey, man. Then at the end, he'll say a prayer. But DMX, no, he came to rock. You know, you're going to get a performance with that guy. You know, you're going to get a show, absolute show with DMX. That's what a lot of like 50 Cent, you know, that guy could perform his ass off. Snoop could perform. You got a lot of those old school cats that know how to perform, man. And you got these young cats, they just, you know, they be yelling all on the mic. Like, bro, you're on the mic. Why are you yelling? They can already hear you. That's why you're talking, you're rapping over a mic. They already hear you. Why are you yelling? So, right. Yeah, oh yeah. You know, I've really seen Kanye before.
Nah.
Like, hey, speaking of Kanye, man, you know what? This is my first time ever feeling sorry for Kanye. I ain't gonna lie to you. This is the first time I really feel bad for Kanye, man. And you know how Kim Kardashian is leaving her brother like that. I mean, I feel like she's leaving him hanging, man. I understand, he got the little mental epidemic going on right now. You know, he needs the counseling and all that. But it's like they divorcing. You know, and it's like, all right, you know, all right. that's what she doing, but it's like, damn, you know, like, that's fucked up. You leaving the brother hanging, huh? Oh, I'm just that, but no, they talking about going to divorce, it's finalizing, and like, it's the real deal, bro. Yeah, man, but I don't know, we'll see. And baby, that's what it is too. A motherfuckers is waiting in line, bro. She can't wait. Motherfuckers talk all bad about Kim Kardashian, but was smashing shit. Okay. And stay open. Damn, that's, I ain't heard that one before. Oh man. Would you still smash J Lo though? Would you still smash J Lo? look, hell yeah. Hey, that old joke, J-Lo got more rings than Phil Jackson. No. Shout out to J-Lo, man. J-Lo is still rocking, man. Man, her and Janet got to be around the same age, right? They playing with that 5-0, man. Yeah. Oh, shit. Man, I probably wouldn't either, man. Man, I'll leave that shit in the crate. Oh, the real though. That's it's the feeling at that point, man. You like, yeah, you feel it. Oh man, that's funny. Oh man, hey, that's the thickest first lady. She got junk in that trunk, bro. Obama, hey, Obama always smiling when he around her, man. He be smiling because he be, you know, he be thinking about that junk back there. He like, oh man, I can't wait to go home. Can't wait to go home tonight with that. Man, hey, speaking of Obama, Bill, Obama talking about he had to punch some white back in the day. He punched some dude in the nose, calling him a racial slur, man. Said he had to check his ass real quick, man. Think he called him a coon or something. I was like, damn, that's what's up, Obama. I mean, you gotta let him know what time it was. Huh? Oh, you feel it, Virginia King? Hey, Virginia King doing her thing too, man. She came a long way, bro. She was that little hood chick in the movies and shit, and back in the day.
She made me not want to wear brothers at all. I'm sitting there like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, Virginia King doing her thing, man. Oh, yeah. Got some really.
She was from the Air Force too, so I'm sitting there like,
She was looking real good on Thin Light Between Love and Hate. I think she was. That was, oh, don't get me started with Nia Long. Why are you mentioning her? You know I love Nia Long. You know I love Nia Long, bro. Oh my God. See, you gotta check this out. I don't know, it's between In Too Deep and Love Jones. When, you know, because, you know, with Janet, it was poetic justice. I mean, poetic justice, bro. I mean, you know, you just want to eat her alive. You know what I'm saying? Like a motherfucking Snickers or something. Man. J-Lo was looking good in that Selena movie. That Selena movie, man. Oh, my God. She was, bro. You know?
Who else was fine? Huh. She was the first sister Denzel dated in Malcolm X.
Oh, Teresa Randall? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he said that girl is fine and finer than May Wine or some shit like that. Oh yeah, yeah, that was crazy. Oh yeah, yeah, that was a lucky guy. She pulled the pants down. And she was about to go downtown. I was like, damn. Not no more. Oh man, yeah, she fine. Oh yeah, oh yeah, she was a lot of movies in the 90s that came out in the 90s. Yeah,
they only had fine black actresses. I want everybody to realize that in the 90s there was nothing but fine black actresses.
Mm-hmm. They had more of a natural look, not all these fake butts and all that or whatever. Oh yeah. Hell yeah. All right, we got L over here speaking knowledge about restraint. That's what's up, bro. Hey, so let's touch on some of the things that we brought up earlier in the intro. So we got Bobby Smarter out, right? And okay, he had that one hit, right? He had that one big, like, big monster hit, right? And then all of a sudden he went to jail. Why did he go to jail again?
He had a couple hits. I think when he dropped that album too, he had, I think, Bobby Bitch and a few. And he had a couple hits. He had Bobby Bitch or Bobby It's Time or something, because he dropped that album. Rowdy had Computers. He had a couple of joints on his end. And it's funny because both Hot Nigga and Computers, those songs were just trends of their own time, because Mad Cats was just making remixes. You know what I'm saying? Like, Computers that were Rowdy, like, so many cats was making remixes. So you kind of know that they set that trend of that year. I think that year was, don't quote me on this, but 6 years they did the time. That was 6 years ago when they went in. So, I can't speak too much on the case, but I don't know too much on the case. When you really listen to the lyrics of certain songs, you really see the whole, basically the GS9 crew that's in New York. The GS9 crew is, you know what type of, you know, festivities they get into. GS9 is the type of crew, as in LA, they would say Crip or Blood, you know what I'm saying? That type of rag shit, you know, gang shit. You could say GS9 was something like that, and you could say they're still active. You could say there was a few things on lyrics that he got within even more trouble for. A lot of these rappers that come from that type of struggle, that type of life, you know, they, you know, of course, it's part of the rap game. We definitely like to speak on things like that. But I want to say, fuck the past. Whatever happened in the past and whatever happened to these two young black kings, I want to say that integrity is another word of the day. It's something that you stand on. That solidarity is amazing. Like, you got these two young brothers that did time for each other and with each other, and it's like, you know, they stood on what they did. You know, that's what it barrels down to. They stood on what they did. They handled their shit like a man. They was like, look, we just take the time. But it's not to idolize. I want this young generation to know about the history. I mean, like I told you, I mean, I had Get Rich or Die Trying and The Massacre playing in my CD players and shit. Like, 50 was a big influence on me. But we can't idolize the violence, but at the same time, we can idolize how if you do some shit that's wrong, you have to do your time and commit the crime, you do your time, but that's honorable, right? When he got released, Quavo from the Migos brought the PJ out, the private jet out, came to pick him up, fucking big ass bash and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, but it's what this young kid did. I mean, you can look up on your phone the time that he went in. He was still young. I think he was, I want to say 19 or 20. Rowdy the same. I really liked his brother, Fetty Luciano. Shout out to Fetty. You know what I'm saying? He had, you know, he carried a torch, you know, for him and his family and stuff, you know. Shout out to Fetty. Shout out to New York, man. They just got that. I'm from Boston, so we're the West neighbors, you know what I'm saying? But we kind of got some of our stuff from New York, and you know, we have our own thing, you know. But I mean, hey, shout out to New York, man. Hey, shout out to those two young black kings. I want to say again, man, that's it.
That's it. Now, that ain't it for you. You got more to say. So, no, I guess that's it, what you got to say about that situation. Okay, so, you know, hopefully he can make some more smash hits, and then, you know, and keep it going, man. I'm looking forward to seeing what the young brother got, you know, what more that he got. He seems to be getting a lot of support from the hip-hop community, so that's really cool, man. And so I want to bring up something that I've been talking about in the past, so gotta bring this up again. But okay, let's see. Kid from Kid and Play said that he feels that rappers nowadays sound the same, and he said that the sounds that they make are very similar. And he also said that back in his day, his heyday, you know, with Kid, you know, with Play, you know, back in what, early 90s, late 80s or whatever. But he was like, they try not to sound the same. And that's the goal, right? Why would I want to sound like this cat and that cat? You know, that's lame. That's like biting, right? That's what they used to call it. So that's biting, man. You biting. You know, now granted, you know, you may borrow some things from some cats, or you study another cat. I mean, that's what you're gonna naturally do, right? You gotta learn how to do it. You gotta learn how to, you know, be the best rapper you can be, and that's what you're gonna do. But to try to sound like one another, okay, now that's a whole different ball game. So this is what we have here. And you know, obviously I totally agree with Kid. And
speak on more what you feel.
And
you're gonna hear a whole bunch of hate from the baby, all that shit.
Oh yeah. Well, the baby sounds a little different. You know, the baby has his own little sound. You know, he got his own little sound. And then I don't have a problem with auto-tune. But when every cat is using auto-tune the same way, it's like, you guys sound like Siamese twins. So, you know, when I hear T-Pain with his auto-tune, you know it's T-Pain, right? Because it's the way that he uses it, right? And then he puts effort into it. You can hear his notes. You can hear his voice. So it's kind of like he's not using it to enhance his voice. He's not using it to make his voice sound better. He's using it to sound different. So it's more of like artistry that's in more of this. But he understands the pitches and the variations of it and all that or whatever. Like you said, he studied it. You know, yeah, he can't sing without auto-tune. You know what? T-Pain can spit. T-Pain got bars.
Let me say something to the youth real quick, okay? I've been doing music for a while now. You gotta kind of sing. Yes, boo-boo. Don't step into the booth. Listen, it's all about pitch correction. So get from the diaphragm and start spitting out some harmony, because that's how the auto-tune device works. It only works when you send out the right pitch. How the hell can they correct shit if you in there doing a whole bunch of other shit to the auto-tune and then you come out sounding like a gizzard? That's all I got to say.
Yeah, like I told L before, I was like, I hate when they all do the same. They sing the same notes. They even sing the same ad-libs. You know, that whole, I fucking hate that. Stop it. That's just like, I remember when Exhibit made a remark about some rappers who say, huh? He like, they got it from the Ying Yang Twins. So if you put two and two together, let's take Ying Yang Twins and let's take, huh? You sound like a fucking retard. Why would you want to sound like a retard? So it's like, stop that. You know, that, you know, like I told people too, that Dej Loaf started a style. She started a trend. Nobody wants to agree with that. I don't give a fuck. This is what I hear. You sound like Dej Loaf. You know what I'm saying? And she does this shit. She does that. She was doing that shit first. And then imagine hearing a grown ass man using that same shit all the time. Bro, you are ad-libbing. Ad-libbing is supposed to be improvisation. That means that you come up with something from your own mind, and it's like instincts. Like, okay, it's stuff that you come up with on your own. That's ad-libbing, right? Spur of the moment stuff, right? Impulsive stuff. Not, okay, let me sound like somebody else when I do my ad-libs. That is so lame. Okay, so, and then I actually singing, okay? Why would you want to sound like, and I, okay, when I was explaining that, a cat was like, oh, because what I said was, when I was explaining how I agreed with Kid, was like, you know, first of all, a lot of people use auto-tune. Like I just told y'all, a lot of people use auto-tune. They didn't have auto-tune back then. You know, they didn't have auto-tune back then. They had the vocal box, but they didn't have auto-tune. It's a little bit different. Auto-tune didn't exist back then or whatever, because the guy who invented it didn't, who came up with the sonar stuff, didn't invent it yet. So it didn't exist. The vocal box or the talk box was out, and obviously Roger Troutman used it a lot. That's what he primarily used. Which I still feel should be. And but cats wasn't using that a lot in hip hop, you know, like far as like the primary, they wasn't using it to rap over it. You know what I'm saying? They were singing over it. Some cats that was using it, like Teddy Riley, Quick, some other cats. And they'll put it in some of their music or whatever here and there, but it wasn't like they was rapping over it, and they, you know, that's how they sound. No, they wasn't doing that. You know, that wasn't a primary style of rapping. You know what I'm saying? I think it's because they wanted to have their own sound. They wanted to have their own style. They didn't want to sound like that. Imagine if like every other rapper back then was using the vocal box. Like, why do you guys all sound alike? Like, stop it. That's what we have nowadays. You got these guys and they're using the auto-tune, and it's like they're using it the same exact way as the next man is using it. They're using the same improvisation ad-libs as the next man. It's like, come on now, we need some variety up in here. So I totally agree with Kid on that, man. And you know, I'm sure he had his own explanations or whatever, but I'm just putting my twist into it, because I've been saying this for a while now. Like, these cats sound alike, but you know, it ain't half they fault, right? You know, because they need more guidance. They need more mentorship. And they're like, what we need that for? You know what I'm saying? We get paid already. We doing our thing, man. You know, especially the top guys, you know, but I'm like, well, right now you're going to run out of ideas. What you gonna do when motherfuckers get tired of that shit? Because right now that sound is, this style is trending. You know, that's one thing about a trend. Trends go old, they go away. So what the hell are you gonna, how you gonna continue to make your money? People gonna get tired of that, because it already sounds dumb. So people gonna get caught up with it. They're gonna be like, you know what, I'm tired of this. You know, or they just gonna go on to the next trend. You know what I'm saying? And then, no, you can't create trends. You followed a trend, remember? So you didn't create it. So, you know, you got to come up and do your own thing now. Yeah. And then you use an auto-tune. How you going to perform? You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, we got to, man, these rappers, these young rappers, we got to do a little bit better, man. And then I would say this too. I understand this. If you come off as yourself and come up with something that you came up with, and then you got social media, you know, every little thing you do, if you turn your head the wrong way, if you turn your head at a 30 degree angle instead of a 29 degree angle, I mean, it's going to be all over the fucking place. It's like, my goodness, what the fuck can I do? What can I say without it being scrutinized? It's a gift and a curse. They didn't have that back then, back in the 90s or whatever. You know, they didn't have social media and all that or whatever. Hell, they didn't even have internet, you know what I'm saying, at some point. So, I understand that if you come up with your own style and your own sound, you may get scrutinized. You know what I'm saying? But so fucking what? You're an artist. Fuck them. Feel what I'm saying? Anybody got anything bad to say about it or whatever? Fuck them. If that's what you're afraid of or whatever, fuck that, man. You're an artist. You know what I'm saying? But look where Drake is at. Drake came up with his own style, sound, stuff that people bite. And these same people talked about him like a dog. Talking about he's soft and he's in his feelings and all this, whatever. Guess what? Your punk ass want to sound just like him. You feel what I'm saying? Because when I hear half these cats, they be sounding like Drake. Like I say, you gonna improvise or ad-lib, and then you're gonna ad-lib sounding like somebody else. That's not ad-libbing. That's biting. So come up with your own shit. Quit being a little fucking scary butt and quit being lazy and do your thing, man. You can make more money. You can shine more. Trust me.
I remember the time Mr. Champagne Poppy came out, Mr. Drake. You know what I'm saying? I remember that time. That was like 08 is when I heard Comeback Season. And I was sitting there like, yo, who is dude? And then it went to So Far Gone when I heard Best You Ever Had, Best I Ever Had. I was sitting there like, yo, this is kind of nice though. And then the normal shit that we was listening to, you know what I'm saying? It was different. I was like, this kid's singing, but at the same time, he rapping. I'm sitting here like, yo, man, this dude wild. Then I heard he was spitting, though, when I heard Successful, when I heard with Trey Songz, you know? A young spitter that everybody in rap fear. Woo! A lot of y'all still sounded like last year. The game need changing. I'm the motherfucking cashier. Woo! Like, y'all need to understand, like, just being different is the most perfect ingredient ever. Like, I look back on the shit that I wrote and then I recite it out, you know, do my little, you know, rap rehearsals that I do. But I'm like, my lyrics are different than most. But then I sit there and like, I think, what the fuck is the problem with that? I'm thinking that it's awkward because I sound different, but the only awkward part is because I sound different. It's because this is not the normal shit. Like, that's why I think it's so cool. That's why I still continue to write and embrace it and still continue to be the same old, same old. I can tell my story. And I never will modify it because it's my story. You dig what I'm saying? And I know longevity. I can sell to these kids that are in college that'll love music that's like a J. Cole to their ear or a Drake to their ear. You know what I'm saying? Rappers nowadays need to understand what originality is and what market is. So your originality, you can be a part of that gang life, but how are you going to sell to these college kids that are paying $300,000 for a concert and you get $60,000 to $70,000? But you have a problem with Little Shoot 'Em Up and you're clashing with his gang. Don't nobody want that shit at their event. But then they take that money and get a J. Cole. Or they get a Drake. Or they get a Kendrick. Or they get a Big Sean. See what I'm saying? You see the difference? Y'all need to be yourselves out there, man. When I'm writing every day, when I'm learning different shit about the music, yeah, I'm learning the game. But I'm also knowing that originality never changed. You know what I'm saying? And as you just study and you grow, I think rappers need to really look in the mirror because they haven't found themselves. They haven't really found their true colors because their ear is so... it's so close to what the next person thinks is hot. It's so close to, I have to be this to fit in with this. But you need to really understand the market out there has an ear for difference. I don't want to eat the same plate every day. I'm a pescatarian. I eat nothing but veggies, spinach, fucking fish, seafood. I don't eat the variety of food. I don't eat pork. I haven't ate pork in a whole 2 years now. I haven't ate red meat in a whole 2 years now. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. So it's like that difference, that variety. I'm not going to sit here and eat shrimp fettuccine every night. Nah, I'm going to make myself some tuna. I'm going to make myself some salmon. I'm going to make myself just a vegetable melody after that. Variety, man.
Also with that tuna, you might want to add some more in that tuna, right? You might want to add some of the different seasoning. No, or
mayonnaise.
No mayonnaise, right?
Like,
you know, you might want different condiments, whatever. You might want some mustard or something. You know what I'm saying? Or I'm just saying, yeah, hell, I put a little bit of mustard on my tuna. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know, a little bit of sandwich bread or something. You know, switch it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? These cats right here, this is what they doing. They eating fried chicken. Just fried chicken. That's it. Then the next cat is eating fried chicken. And the next cat is eating fried. But then you got like Drake. Drake is eating baked chicken. You know what I'm saying? And he adding some salad with it. And he adding all these different things with his baked chicken. And at first, these cats is laughing at him like, man, this old square ass motherfucker eating baked chicken or whatever. What's wrong with this dude, man? And he got the nerves to have salad with it. What the hell? Right? But then they heard it. They and meanwhile, they sneaking his chicken. They eating off his chicken. They eating off his salad. So, you know, I'm just saying, y'all get a clear little view with my little analogy that I got here. It's like, come on, y'all, stop it. You know, like, you guys sound the same. Why? This is my question. Why would you want to sound like the other guy? Why? And then you got cats that are in denial. They're like, no, we sound different and all that. Are you serious? Are you serious? You did that little shit that Dave's Loaf does or did. How do you sound different? How? When this guy right here, like Kendrick Lamar, Elf's boy, Kendrick Lamar, you're like, oh, he sound weird or he sound like an alien or whatever. But guess what? He's selling and he don't sound like your ass. And you got to listen to him. You listen to him more, you might enjoy him. You might value him because he be saying some shit, right? So he's not afraid of being himself. He's not afraid of putting out something that he came up with. He's not afraid of being an artist, maybe because he know what an artist is. Another thing that I love about Kendrick Lamar is he's a hell of a performer. And that is rare in hip hop nowadays. You know, if you meet every old school rapper or rapper that came out before 2000 or around that time, they know how to perform. You got these cats nowadays, they do not know how to perform. I mean, it is just cringeworthy. DMX come to bring it, bro. Hey, man. Then at the end he'll say a prayer. But DMX, no, he came to rock. You know you're gonna get a performance with that guy. You know you're gonna get a show, absolute show with DMX. That's what a lot of like 50 Cent, you know, that guy can perform his ass off. Snoop can perform. You got a lot of those old school cats that know how to perform, man. And you got these young cats, they just, you know, they be yelling all on the mic like, bro, you're on the mic. Why are you yelling? They can already hear you. That's why you're talking, you're rapping over a mic. They already hear you. Why are you yelling? So, right. Yeah, oh, yeah. You know, I've really seen Kanye before. Hey, speaking of Kanye, man, you know what? This is my first time ever feeling sorry for Kanye. I ain't gonna lie to you. This is the first time I really feel bad for Kanye, man. And you know how Kim Kardashian is leaving her brother like that. I mean, I feel like she's leaving him hanging, man. I understand, he got the little mental epidemic going on right now. You know, he needs the counseling and all that. But it's like, they divorcing. You know, and it's like, all right, you know, all right, that's what she doing. But it's like, damn, you know, like, that's fucked up. You leaving the brother hanging, huh? Oh, I'm just that. But no, they talking about, they talking about they going to divorce. It's finalizing, and like, it's the real deal, bro. Yeah, yeah, man. But I don't know. We'll see. And maybe that's what it is too. A motherfuckers is waiting in line, bro. She can't wait. Motherfuckers talk all bad about Kim Kardashian, but was smashing shit. Okay. It stay open. Damn, that's, I ain't heard that one before. Oh man, would you still smash J Lo though? Would you still smash J Lo? look, hell yeah. Hey, that old joke, J-Lo got more rings than Phil Jackson. No, shout out to J-Lo, man. J-Lo is still rocking, man. Man, her and Janet got to be around the same age, right? They playing with that 5-0, man. I wouldn't pull out with Janet. She can't have kids. I mean, last time I checked. Oh, shit. Man, I probably wouldn't either, man. Man.
I'll leave that shit in
the grave. Oh, the real though. Oh, the real. That's it's the feeling at that point, man. You like, yeah, you feel it, you feel it. Oh man. That's funny. Oh man. Hey, that's the thickest first lady. She got junk in that trunk, bro. Obama. Hey, Obama always smiling when he around her, man. He be smiling because he be, you know, he be thinking about that junk back there. He like, oh man, I can't wait to go home. Can't wait to go home tonight with that. Man. Hey, speaking of Obama, Bill, Obama talking about he had to punch some white back in the day. He punched some dude in the nose, calling him a racial slur, man. Said he had to check his ass real quick, man. Think he called him a coon or something. I was like, damn, that's what's up, Obama. I mean, you gotta let him know what time it was. Huh? Oh, you feel it, Virginia King? Hey, Virginia King doing her thing too, man. She came a long way, bro. She was that little hood chick in the movies and shit and back in the day.
She made me not want to wear brothers at all. I'm sitting there like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, Virginia King doing her thing, man. Oh, yeah. Got some really... She was looking real good on Thin Light Between Love and Hate. I think she was. That was, oh, don't get me started with Nia Long. Why are you mentioning her? You know I love Nia. You know I love Nia Long. You know I love Nia Long, bro. Oh my God. See, you gotta check this out. I don't know. It's between In Too Deep and Love Jones. When, you know, because, you know, with Janet, it was Poetic Justice. I mean, Poetic Justice, bro. I mean, you know, you just want to eat her alive. You know what I'm saying? Like a motherfucking Snickers or something. Man. J-Lo was looking good in that Selena movie. That Selena movie, man. Oh, my God. She was, bro. You know? Huh.
First sister Denzel dated in Malcolm X.
Oh, Teresa Randall? Oh, yeah. 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 He said that girl is fine and finer than May Wine or some shit like that.
She was like the
church. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was crazy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a lucky guy. She pulled the pants down. And she was about to go downtown. I was like, damn. Not no more. Oh man. Nah, she fine. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, she was a lot of movies in the '90s that came out in the '90s, yeah.
They only had five black actresses. I want everybody to realize that in the '90s there was nothing but five black actresses.
Mm-hmm. They have more of a natural look. Not all these fake butts and all that or whatever. Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.